This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. We appreciate them and you, and we look forward to hearing from you if you're so inclined. Your number is 877-217-5757. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Caroline Menville Alonso is producing, and in a few moments, we will hear from Gene Mills, the executive director of the Louisiana Family Forum. He founded that organization in the year of 1998. And the news of the week that we did not anticipate when we invited Gene Mills on this program last week, superseding everything else, opponents and supporters of abortion rights had expected for months that the Supreme Court would vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. This from the New York Times today. But the leaked draft opinion late Monday came as if out of the blue, setting off shock, outrage, and jubilation on either side of the nation's deeply polarized abortion debate. Louisiana is one of 13 states that will ban abortion immediately when the Supreme Court, as expected, it will follow through with this. Now, things could happen, but it would appear unlikely that it will. They will. And if that happens, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, they all will ban abortion immediately. And then there's some other states that have laws that do just short of that. So it is a big victory for the anti-abortion movement. And Gene Mills has been at the forefront of that. And if you call him, I know many will disagree with him, but many, of course, in our state agree with Gene Mills. In fact, the latest poll from LSU shows 49% of the state agrees with Reverend Mills and 46% disagrees with him. Now, nationally, different story. 59% of the respondents in a Pew survey showed that they are in favor of abortion rights. But the Supreme Court, it appears, most likely on a 5-4 vote, will throw out this precedent, which was established 49 years ago, January 22, 1973, on a 7-2 margin by the U.S. Supreme Court, when most of the court then, as now, was congregated by Republican appointees. But Gene Mills, for 24 years as head of the Family Forum, this has been perhaps the biggest issue. Your thoughts?
It's an extraordinary day. First of all, good morning, Jim, and good morning to your listeners. I think no one anticipated that either a leak or something as substantive as this would happen prior to the official process. And obviously, we're cautiously optimistic because the writings in Alito's brief do portend to his writing, and now that Roberts has affirmed it, what appears to be a favorable decision in a respect life ethic. And so we're cautiously optimistic and are hopeful that this can be finalized in a manner that's peaceful and timely.
Well, as you know, the New York Times editorial page is largely liberal, but there are some conservatives, including Bret Stephens, who won a Pulitzer writing for the Wall Street Journal a few years ago. But he writes today, this is partly a matter of stare decisis, but not just that. As conservatives, you're philosophically bound to give considerable weight to judicial precedents, particularly when they have been ratified and refined, as Roe was in the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision. The fact that Casey somewhat altered the biggest scheme of Roe, a point Justice Alito makes much in his draft opinion, doesn't change the fact that the court broadly upheld the right to an abortion. Casey is precedent on precedent, as Justice Kavanaugh put it in his confirmation hearing. And yet, Brett Kavanaugh, the other two appointees, Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch of Donald Trump, they are in the majority, it appears, along with Alito, who wrote the opinion, and Clarence Thomas. But is it going to rock the world? Are we going to have riots in the streets as a result of this? What's your anticipation, Gene Mills?
I don't expect anybody on the right to riot. I expect celebrations to occur. And in general, that's probably true. I think what you just described is what could be partially expressed or explained as numerator management. Stare decisis is a form of that. it looks at earlier precedent and it says, well, this is what we did before, and it ought to guide us going forward. In this particular case, it went to the denominator. It challenged the assertion of the Ninth Amendment or 14th Amendment precedent that establishes this right. And it is. This is a quantum shift in the manner in which jurisprudence will take place. And now, if it's true, and it's still a compromise position, it's not that they found an inherent right to life inside of the Constitution, which some presumably would argue for, but rather that it's silent on the matter, and there's inherent silence on the right to abortion, which would necessarily return it to the states. Hence the divided and the ongoing battle at a state level as to whether or not this would be allowed.
Now, when I look at this map, the entire West Coast will still have abortion rights, including California, which has 1/8 of the American population. New York and the entire Eastern Seaboard will have abortion rights. And a few states in other places, Illinois and Minnesota and New Mexico and Colorado. And that's it. But I would imagine that you want the whole shebang. You want the whole country to have no abortion. Is that accurate? Am I being fair?
I think that's a short way of saying it. I believe that every child in utero or that's made it to this earth deserves the right to life. So we're obligated to be a voice for that child. Louisiana children will arguably be protected. And by the way, that's by bipartisan support. It was Democrats who serve in the fourth floor who have affirmed this right, including our governor. It was Democratic mayor of the East Baton Rouge Parish, Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome, who passed the Women's Right to Know. It was Democratic member of the legislature in the state Senate, Katrina Jackson, who advanced the cleanup and the trigger law that we're working
all
on
right
now.
And it was a Democratic governor, Kathleen Blanco, who signed the trigger law in 2006.
Right.
So in Louisiana, you're not going to get an argument from me. I would say the state slightly, although it's not as big a margin as you might think, is pro-life, if that's the term you want to use. But nationally, I would say the country is largely pro-choice. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, I saw support or a survey that came out earlier. Presumably, that was the purpose of the early release of the document, to generate both energy and or a narrative that would argue that's not where everybody is. And in that particular argument, they found, if I'm recalling the numbers correctly, I've been locked up at the Capitol. In fact, I'm here now. If there's background noise, please
forgive
me.
You're fine.
The Capitol.
You're fine.
But in the earlier survey, it talked about there was a percentage that somewhere near 50% said it ought to be outlawed after 6 weeks. That number rises slightly if it's after 15 weeks, but that 70% purportedly supported Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade didn't limit it to 6 or 15 weeks.
Okay,
it said,
well,
through all 9 months of pregnancy, or no reason at all.
You make a valid point, Reverend Mills, but apparently Justice Roberts, who was trying to make peace with his court, was in favor of the Mississippi law to ban abortion after 15 weeks, but he was against just throwing out Roe v. Wade altogether. Would you have been okay with that, or is that not good enough for you?
I think an incremental step is always good, but I think now you've reached, this opinion has reached this court, unless one of the members flips, and then it would be subject to the charge of your political enterprise, subject to outside pressures. So Roberts is dealing with that right now. And to be frank with you, Jim, I think he's dealing with the safety of his members. He has to move quickly. Otherwise, this opinion could be altered before it's certified and made final. And I think he understands the risk inherent in that.
Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on the air with Reverend Mills. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. A few points here. One, of course, the hypocrisy of politics swaying people. We have Clarence Thomas and his wife, so we can just leave that one at the door.
All right. What's your question, Jim? What's your question, Jim?
The question is this. So is it 6 weeks or is it 15 weeks that women should be able to start getting welfare and SNAP EBT payments for their unborn children and start collecting child support for their unborn children at which one of those, 6 or 15?
All right. Jim makes a point that these kids, many of whom will have parents who are lacking in resources, when should they start getting benefits?
Well, obviously, first of all, I'm glad that the woke left is finally recognized in its outcry of this particular decision that women are, in fact, women. That's a new development. Until just recently, we couldn't define what constituted a woman. They were birthing people.
All right. So, well, you're venturing off. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a decision that had to be decided in other policy matters. This one had to do with the inherent right to life or the inherent right to an abortion.
All right. We do have to take a break, so we'll be back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Gene Mills, the founder of the Louisiana Family Forum, still leads that group 24 years later. He is with us. If you are calling in, we do have some folks who are waiting in line. Please be brief for Gene Mills, the headline in the newspaper of record for our country, the New York Times: draft abortion ruling signals seismic political shift. A bit later, we'll hear from Nora Ahmed, legal director for the Louisiana ACLU. I'm sure we'll have a different viewpoint than does Gene Mills, and that's what our show is all about. So if you're for it or against it, we want to hear from you. Let's go to Mitch in Sherwood. Mitch, you're on Talk Louisiana, sir.
I don't believe in abortion, and most Afro-Americans don't. But I don't believe in taking people's rights, free will, that God gave us all. He gave us all free will. So whatever the women's choice is, that's between them and God, and I can't take people's free will from them. And you shouldn't either, and I don't reverend nobody.
All right, Mitch. Mitchell, thank you. Gene Mills, your response.
Yeah, Mitch, I appreciate the conversation and the opportunity to respond to that. And yeah, I agree in free will as well. And people are still at liberty to do as they choose. There just may be implications in civil society and before the throne of God one day when they make that choice. Law was designed to be an instrument that taught that this is good and that is bad. It rewards good and punishes evil. That's its necessary purpose. And our Constitution sets up a framework to accomplish that in a just manner.
Well, you're in favor of the death penalty, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, as am I. I'd be more than happy to personally throw some of these scumbags off a tall building, personally. But because of that, I think it would be hypocritical for me not to be in favor of a woman having the right, her right, to choose whether or not she wishes to end a pregnancy. But you don't see a disconnect there.
No, I don't. I think in one case, you're dealing with innocent human life. In the other case, you're dealing with someone who's been through the legal jurisprudence process and found guilty, charged of some heinous crime. And that distinction is an inevitable different comparison in that comparative analysis.
It is life, though. You're taking a life, Gene Mills.
Now, actually, the government's charged with that responsibility, and if you carry that
the government should may be wrong. The government was certainly wrong about slavery.
Well, let me answer that. So, if that's true, then we need to disarm the police and our military.
No, because that's taking
a life too. No, wait, Jim. If your philosophy is there is no place for armed,
in self-defense, there certainly is. I was in favor of the death penalty, but I don't think you can be in favor of the death penalty and talk about being pro-life.
And I don't believe you can be really for self-defense if you're not defending the life of the unborn child.
877-217-5757 for Gene Mills, and we will go back to the phones, but our time with him is short today. The front page of The Advocate: panel rejects Don't Say Gay bill. What are your thoughts about this?
It didn't go anywhere, but I believe that there's no responsible way to introduce inappropriate material to children. Innocent eyes and innocent ears don't need to be exposed to sexual politics. It's just the wrong place.
So you're saying they made the wrong call on this, Reverend Mills?
I am. I don't think a K through three, third grade, and I think Doty's bill might have gone a little farther than that. has no business discussing sexual politics. It's just not a, if we were to deal with teachers who have conversations with children outside of the context of the classroom, you would call that a perpetrator, and you might prosecute them for inappropriate contact or communications with a child.
All right. Do you think you're going to win the transgender battle this time? The governor won last time.
I don't think it's a transgender battle. I think it's a protection of women's sports. And I have a coach that's here from Colorado who played semi-pro ball in soccer, and she was blindsided by from the rear by an over 200-pound man who was playing competitively as a woman. He's a biological male, but he identifies as a woman. And she suffered serious consequences. I believe this bill is coming through the legislature, and I also believe there's a veto-proof majority to uphold that position, and I hope the governor doesn't take us to that place, but I think we do have the votes to do that.
All right, Chuck in Scott, Louisiana. Chuck, you're on Talk Louisiana, sir.
Yes. It seems to me that all these issues you're discussing with your guest are really about imposing religious beliefs on all people. That's my comment. I'll listen to the response.
Gene, you're guided by your faith, aren't you?
Every day.
So I don't know that you would necessarily disagree with Chuck, but and all of us should be, I think, guided by whatever higher power we are into. But on the other hand, should we take, like, I'm a Roman Catholic. There are things the Roman Catholic bans gay marriage. I disagree with that, but. I wouldn't want to impose my church's opinion on an issue in the state legislature or in the federal Congress. Where do you draw the line?
Be assured that bill is not making its way through this process. We draw the line on the question of life. We draw the line on the question, what's appropriate conversation with a child in the educational context? We draw the line with regard to personal liberties and your ability to say, no, thank you, or yes, I would like to move in that direction. So life, liberty, and limited government do cross over in matters of morality. And those decisions are made here. The problem is they're bereft of somebody's defense or persuasion if we simply leave it to somebody else to decide.
Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on with Gene Mills.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen, and the audience. Good morning. I think the LGBTQ movement has gone quite too far. I think they should be removed from mainstream society, just like other.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that, Stuart?
Any male that wants to be purports to be a female and vice versa, that is mental illness at its peak.
Now that's your opinion. That's your opinion. But what do you have a question?
No, just the LBG, whatever they call this movement. It's just
all right. Well, Stuart, I think, unfortunately, and I will say unfortunately, even though I love you, unfortunately, many people would agree with you, but let's move on. Henry at the Country Club on line one. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Reverend Gene. I'm a pro-life person. That means from birth or from conception to natural death. I think if Mr. Gene and them ought to call themselves pro-birth because they're not too caring towards the tail end of their life if someone committed certain crimes. Thank you all very much.
Gene?
Well, Uncle Henry, I appreciate that assertion, but innocent life and a guilty individual, and I agree jurisprudence doesn't always produce a just verdict, and we need to do what we can, and that's the reason I'm involved in justice reform and have been from the beginning in bringing together the parties to make certain that when we follow the command that Scripture affords in Genesis, when one man sheds another man's blood, by another shall his blood be shed, and in Romans where it says government's established to punish evil, that we're doing it in a just manner. Our government was founded upon that, and I'll continue to support it as long as those words appear in his word.
All right. James and Metairie, you're on with Gene Mills. James.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Reverend Mills. I want to talk about God's abortions. In the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson mentions nature's God. Now, whether that's a God of deism or a God of the Bible or Jesus, who knows? And the point I'm trying to make is this. About, according to the Mayo Clinic, about 8 to 20% of known pregnancies end in miscarriage. What is a miscarriage? A miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion. 4 million pregnancies a year in the United States, about 10%. So that's 400,000.
All right. We're short on time going to the break, but you made your point. Gene, is that analogous to a spontaneous abortion, to somebody having one of their own will?
A chemical or a surgical abortion is a medical procedure with the specific intent to stop a beating heart and end human life. That is nothing akin to a spontaneous miscarriage or abortion.
877-217-5757 is your number. Gene Mills with us for a few more moments, and then we'll turn the page and we'll hear Nora Ahmed, the legal director for the Louisiana ACLU. Again, 877-217-5757 is your number. Send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org, and we're back with more after this brief pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. We're wrapping up our discussion with Gene Mills, head of the Louisiana Family Forum, and then we will go to Nora Ahmed, the legal director for the ACLU at our state. We've got many people trying to get in with Gene, and we won't be able to get to all of you, but we'll try to take a couple of calls. But I do ask that you be very brief and please limit remarks. We want questions, and we'll go to Steve in Mandeville. I know he's been waiting for a little while. Steve, you're on with Gene Mills. Good morning, sir.
Reverend Mills, I think, and I'm not sure about this, but I think that the Bible says that life begins at the first breath. Is that not true?
It says also that life is in the blood, but no, it doesn't say at the first breath. It does talk about him breathing the breath of life into the living soul.
What's your question?
Okay. Well, that's what I was asking then. And I also wanted to know, what about this my body, my choice that all of these people were talking about with? Go ahead.
All right. What about people having control of their body? Gene Mills, we'll never have to make this decision. And yet you and I and many others are expressing opinions on it, on different sides, albeit. But still, we're not in the same league with a woman when we're discussing abortion.
Yeah, that's the premise of this decision and what I called earlier denominator management. This court decided that that premise, a right to privacy, didn't exist with regard to the termination of a human life.
All right.
Which is a compromise. It returns it to the states to decide. So the states have to decide for themselves.
All right. Now, we've got several people on the line, and we will continue with this issue. So if you'd like to stay and talk about it with Nora Ahmed, that's fine. We'd like to hear from you. Caroline says David in Atlanta has been waiting the longest. David, please be brief. You're on with Gene Mills. Hi, David.
Okay, I have a simple question for Mr. Mills. And keep in mind, Jesus said, "Woe to you hypocrites." Mr. Mills, if you had a daughter, and please don't tell me it wouldn't happen in your family. It can happen in any family. Your daughter said I wasn't as careful as I should have been on my prom night. I found out today I'm pregnant. There's no way I'm going to have this child. I'm going to college with my friends. And if it came down to where abortions are illegal, would you help your daughter go to Mexico to receive a safe clinical abortion, or would you turn your back on your daughter and allow her to go to a butcher?
All right. Loaded question. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would stand with my daughter on a principle of I love you unconditionally. I will be here for you forever. But that is a human
not answer
life.
The question.
Wait a minute, David. I think maybe he is answering it. So if she made the choice that you disagree with, you would not condemn her. Is that what you're
choice
saying?
And saying you only have those two choices.
You would love her. You would love her, and she would be welcome to come to Christmas dinner and. Life goes
every
on.
Every heart beats imperfectly, and the thief on the cross had no chance to do anything good in this life other than say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I would remember my daughter all the way to the kingdom.
Thank you, Gene Mills. Appreciate your time today. Always good to talk to
you. You too, Jim.
Take care. And Nora Ahmed is with us, the legal director for the Louisiana ACLU, and it is a day in which many are trying to absorb this bombshell from the Supreme Court. It wasn't really that unexpected, but the leak was. And the forceful nature of the opinion written by Sam Alito, who said Roe v. Wade was wrong from the start. That's 49 years of what he believes is a law that is flawed to the point where it should be thrown out. Nora, were you stunned at this development?
At first, I was in denial, and then there was confirmation that the draft opinion was in fact real. And now it's a decision about how we move forward and hope that the decision will somehow be changed, but the likelihood that we are going to face an outright constitutional ban and what that means for this state is extraordinarily scary, especially for the poor, especially for the disabled, especially for Black people, and all of those who do not, in fact, have the representatives in the legislature that know how to make decisions for them.
Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you are on the air with Nora Ahmed. Good morning, sir.
Hi. I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to that disgraceful reverend, but ma'am, can I just ask you, obviously, I respect women's rights and the right to choose, but isn't this really just about Republican politics? I mean, just like they had the Southern strategy to get racists to vote for them, just like they had these transgender laws to get bigots to vote for them.
What about the politics? Rebel, you faded on us, but I think we know what you're alluding to. This has a political component. That cannot be denied, Nora.
So the challenge here is we want to believe that the Supreme Court is not a politicized institution. And though historically we've seen them make decisions that are regretful, this one really tells us that the Supreme Court is no different than Congress. And that becomes very scary. And so we have to think about who is the president at a particular point in time and who is electing these justices, because we now are seeing a politicized Supreme Court and an entire branch of our country that can no longer be relied upon to adhere to the constitutional rights that are founded in the right to privacy.
Now, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg had lived a couple of more months, we wouldn't have had Amy Coney Barrett on the court, most likely. And the court would probably be 5-4 the other direction. But 5-4 is 5-4. It's a victory for those who have fought for all these years to get abortion outlawed, and it will be in most states. And the remarkable thing is that a woman from New Orleans succeeded Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she is the deciding vote. And I would suspect you see some irony in that, Nora.
I see some irony, but I also think we have to remember what happened with Justice Scalia. That was an appointment that Obama should have been allowed to make, and the Republican Party stymied that and prevented that.
So we are
now the court become extraordinarily politicized. So whether we're talking about Scalia or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we are talking about concerted efforts by politicians to pack the court in a way that whittles away civil rights and civil liberties.
Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland would have been on the court rather than Neil Gorsuch. And once again, Merrick Garland, I think it's fair to say, would not be voting to do away with Roe v. Wade, which even Kavanaugh said is precedent on top of precedent. Now, all of these nominees, when they were before the Judiciary Committee, including Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, they didn't really play their hand. But, Nora, we knew, didn't we, how they would vote?
We knew how they would vote. And we have to think about what the lower court judge said when this decision about the Mississippi law was before the court. And it said that this law is closer to the old Mississippi. And that was the intent on controlling women's bodies with a history of forced sterilization of Black women. So we knew. We knew that putting people on the court was about ensuring that people who don't have a voice remain impeded by all aspects of our government, by those elected officials, and now by the very courts that were put in place to protect their constitutional rights.
When I look at the map, a woman in Louisiana, if she wishes to have a surgical abortion, will need to go closest states, look like they're going to be New Mexico, Illinois, Virginia. That's a long way to go, isn't it?
Hundreds and hundreds of miles, which puts a woman's health care at risk. That's why people are talking about voice and choice, because if you are wealthy and if you have power, you are able to put your child on a plane, or you are able to get on the plane yourself to make that decision, even if your state won't allow it. But what we are doing consistently is we are ensuring that the poor and the meek have no place in our society. And we are continuing to punish them and ensure that the lives that they lead are not ones of prosperity. They're ones of forced pregnancy.
877-217-5757 for Nora Ahmed, the legal director for the ACLU. Do we have Patricia in Magnolia Woods? Caroline, or you tell me if she's ready to go. She is not. Bill Bryan writes, let me see here. He says, the right insists that life begins at conception and it takes a man to create that conception. Why does the man have no responsibility in creating the decision where a woman decides to have an abortion? That's from Bill Bryan. What do you think, Nora?
I think we have to understand what the right to privacy means. We have to understand what it is that women go through when they are pregnant. We have to understand that women are raped. And we have to understand that in Louisiana, if Roe is in fact overturned, we are going to be in a position where those women do not have recourse. They don't have recourse against an abusive partner. They don't have recourse and may be forced to drop out of school. They might have to just completely ditch any vision of a future and career that they had for themselves. So when you talk about men who are not necessarily forced to stay with a woman who can just get into a position where someone is impregnated and then leave, those men, while they may be able to have conversations with a woman who's then been impregnated, they do not have a say over what happens there. They can be in conversation about it, but it is not their body and it is not their choice.
Patrick in Innisfail states, Patrick, you're on with Nora.
Hey, Nora, so your opening remarks, you say that this is mostly black people, people in poverty that need the abortion. What about the lives that are aborted? Do those black lives matter? Those people that are born in poverty, do they not have a part in our country?
All right. Your thoughts, Nora?
I think we have to talk about black maternal mortality rates. Women are dying when they are forced to have pregnancies. Women who are poor, women who are black. So this is not a simple situation where we're saying we're going to force these pregnancies and that's going to lead to some child being born. We're talking about women whose lives are on the line and they are dying because they are forced to have children. So it is not a simple dichotomy. And the law has been clear for years that there is a point at which an embryo...
We do have to take a pause, but we'll be back after this quick pause with Nora. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. A quarter hour to go with Nora Ahmed, the legal director for the Louisiana ACLU. And it appears it'll be a 5-4 vote, with Justice Roberts going with the three Democratic appointees to the U.S. Supreme Court, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer, and the five Republican appointees, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, voting to do away with Roe v. Wade. And Nora made a good point. Really, when Justice Scalia died during the term of President Obama, precedent would have had it that the U.S. Senate would approve or not approve a nominee, but ultimately somebody nominated by President Obama would get through. And purposely, he nominated a moderate Merrick Garland, but he didn't even get a hearing. And then we had Neil Gorsuch, who may be the most conservative member of the court, who got that post instead. And then when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died fewer than 2 months before the election of 2020, the Republicans went into high gear then and put Amy Coney Barrett on the court. So that's two seats that have been attained under questionable means. But we live in a country where the Supreme Court is the most powerful body in the United States. And in the year of 2000, five members of the Supreme Court determined that a recount of the 2020 vote in Florida was stopped, which would have given Albert Gore the presidency. And every one of those votes was a swing vote. Justice Scalia, Justice Rehnquist, Justice Thomas, Justice O'Connor, Justice Kennedy. Every one of them made the difference between Albert Arnold Gore being president and George Bush being president. And think of how the world would have been different if Gore would have been elected. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Nora Ahmed. Nora, Bill Huey says, do you think Brett Kavanaugh should be a justice on the court after the revelations that he was accused of sexual assault in his youth by a credible witness? What are your thoughts?
No, is a very simple thought. And that issue was presented to Congress, and yet, despite all of the hemming and hawing and what women had to say about putting a straight white man on the court who engaged in that conduct, it still happened. So no, he should not be there. And there is no similarity between what happened to Justice Kavanaugh and what then happened to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, because that is somebody who had a clear record and there was no blemish in her historical past. And the only issues were those that she made in terms of what she did as a judge. That is very different than what you do as a human being and how you harm other human beings. So having justices on the court who have engaged in harm to others and hearing the people express discomfort about that is deeply problematic when we think about who has power in this country.
Another listener, this is Holly in the Garden District, asks whether the Supreme Court should be increased in membership. And Holly notes that back in the year of 2000, and when those five members of the Republican presidential nominees, they all were voted to stop the recount in Florida. Two of them who were nominated by Republicans, John Paul Stevens and David Souter, went with the two Democrats. But once again, in 2000, Republicans had a 7-2 majority of appointees on the court. Even though the country is evenly divided, in fact, probably a bit more Democratic than Republican, Republicans for many, many years, Nora, have had control of the court in just numerical counting. Your thoughts about whether the court should have more than nine members?
I'm not sure that having more than nine members is going to solve the problems that we currently face today. But I do think there has to be a deep concerted effort to ensure that the court is the body that it was set out to be, a body that actually ensures that the people have constitutional rights and that those constitutional rights are not abrogated by the state.
877-217-5757 to get in under the wire with Nora Ahmed, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim. And thank you for this topic. And thank you for your work, too. But just look at what their court has done. I mean, starting with the Bush selection, they decided a presidency in 2001, the Citizens United decision, the corporations are people decisions, the freedom, the voting acts, and then they're going here. I mean, it's basically, it's a fascist court, and it has no credibility. Thank you.
Would you go that far? Say the court?
I don't ever like to go too far, but I recognize that there are issues with what we are seeing, and we have to really think about the legitimacy of the court in our nation. And right now, the choice is to ensure that people actually have a say at the polls. But what we see politically happening, and this is where this gentleman is correct, the court is ensuring that the maps that are being drawn still ensure that people who are marginalized, that people who are Black and brown, do not have a say in who their elected representatives are. And that is a significant problem.
Nora grew up in Oregon. She has been educated there and in New York, has now been in New Orleans for a few years. And obviously the politics are much different in New York and Oregon, and a woman trying to get an abortion in New York or Oregon will have a much easier time to do it than in Louisiana. Does that give you pause about living here?
It doesn't necessarily give me pause about living here. It makes me more determined to stay and to fight the systems within states like Louisiana that are seeking to put an end to people's rights and are trying to take us back to what the judge in the lower court case of the Mississippi ban said, the old Mississippi that was racist and ensured that Black women were sterilized. If people in this state do not actually believe that there can be a counter narrative, then the state will be left in worse shape than it even is today.
Gene Mills, who preceded you, the head of the Family Forum, he all but said the group that he's affiliated with and other evangelical conservatives, they want the whole enchilada. They're going to go for the whole country as a ban on Roe v. Wade, and they will keep trying. So this does not end the debate. And now, as I stated yesterday, the left, for the first time in 49 years, owns this issue. Republicans have been on the outside looking in, fighting and raising money and using this issue, which is a divisive one, to promote an agenda that they believe in. Now, Democrats will have the issue. What will that do to the political dynamics of our country?
Well, we can hope that during the midterms, we're going to see people coming out. They're going to understand that who they vote for matters, because it's not just abortion rights that are on the line. It's same-sex marriage. It's so many rights we have seen founded in the right to privacy. And the problem with what Justice Alito did in the leaked decision is he laid out a roadmap to ensure that those rights could be taken away, but for Congress getting involved. And so that means that we have to see people showing up to the midterms and understanding that it's not just abortion rights on the line. It is racial justice on the line. It is same-sex marriage on the line. It is LGBTQ rights on the line. It is everything that this country has seen over the years expand in terms of civil rights and civil liberties that is on the line. So there is a way to ensure that people retain the rights they always had, but we are going to have to see people ensure that Congress can make that decision. And right now, Congress is not in a position to make that decision. But President Biden has made clear that if a law comes before him that allows him to institute Roe v. Wade as federal law, he will do so. And then the Supreme Court's decision today will not stand when and if it comes down in the draft that we saw it in.
Do you think there's a possibility that Alito will alter his opinion, or that a member will put him in the minority? What can happen between now and the finish line?
There's a lot that can happen between now and the finish line. The leak puts us in an interesting situation. Either we're going to see the conservative justices dig their heels in, feeling as though they cannot change where they currently stand, or we're going to see some form of a reaction that says, we always have draft opinions circulating, we always change the language, votes can shift from one side to another, and they will allow those conversations to take place. But it is unclear whether we are going to see the process as usual continue, or whether the final decision we see is going to be so close to this decision, because the justices themselves have now identified themselves as political entities, and they're not willing to face the backlash of people thinking that they changed their votes.
It certainly is a divided country, isn't it?
It's extraordinarily divided, and it is sad, because we are all at one another's throats. We are not actually talking about what makes us human and what makes us a country.
But about 60% of Americans believe that a woman should have a choice. Now, Gene Mills is right. Some people will draw the line at 10 weeks, others 20 weeks, others 30 weeks. But nonetheless, most people believe a woman has the right to choose in this country, and yet the Supreme Court has gone in another direction, which I think can only cause us to be more divided. But we'll see what happens, Nora. But you were a pleasant voice and certainly an authentic one on this issue and others, and we're glad you're in Louisiana. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jim.
See you soon. Talk Louisiana.
Bye.
That's it. Talk Louisiana's signature supporters are First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Glad you're listening. Tomorrow we'll have Leslie Gerwin, who is on the front lines of this 32 years ago at the state capitol. Stay tuned.